Hey, welcome in. Time for our daily editorial. Boy, I gotta tell you, in the Seattle area right now, where I am, all the daily editorials wouldn't be dealing with politics. They'd be dealing with the National Hockey League. The Seattle Kraken is turning into a miracle team. They beat a very, very good Dallas Star team last night in a game that I also watched. But, you know, we really can't spend time talking about the Kraken, Al. Okay, Dad, we won't do that. So what I'm going to say here is that a lot of interesting things, all of which are brought up in Citizen Free Press, are coming across the wire service right now. And I'd like to just throw some questions at you, Jim, because, you know, I'll kind of play like the guy who just really doesn't understand, who needs help from Jim McKinney to understand this, because all of these things are really, really important. The one thing I want to bring up, because it was brought up yesterday within a couple of conversations that I had, and it's the Citizen Free Press article. It's at the very top of the list right now. It's entitled, "We Share the Earth with Very Strange Humans." I don't think that's worth our time, personally, at this moment in time. Jimmy, what do you think? A lot of talk about it. That's the reason I'm asking.
Hey, I'm sorry, Al. I just got diverted real quick on this. Can you rephrase that just a real quick second?
Yeah, a lot of conversations right now in my environment are dealing with aliens. And as a matter of fact, a lot of comments on our blog seem to be dealing with aliens also.
That is what I thought you said, and I wasn't sure. I didn't know if it was illegal aliens or actually, like, extraterrestrial. So I gotta say that you want a diversion to divert people away from actually thinking about things that are important.
Yeah.
Start throwing out the alien invasion crap. And I'm beginning to see it with the mainstream media, and I'm seeing it all around, and of course it is. People are talking about it. And you know, there's some interesting things out there, information on different, you know, events.
Yeah.
Being a guy that actually did a lot of work, very, very thorough understanding and experience in space operations and knowing what, you know, we can and can't do and information, I think there's a lot of BS being thrown out there to cover up for some other things that are happening in the science and technology world.
Well, I got to tell you, Jimmy, my impression is that you're 100% correct. I felt that way for a long time. I commented in that exact direction over the weekend when I was going over the weekend radio show blog, etc., etc. What really kind of got my attention yesterday is there is a program, a very popular program, now airing on one of the major networks, dealing kind of in a roundabout way with the possibility of extraterrestrial people, you know, inhabiting the Earth. It is a great diversion, but I have chosen to believe it as being nothing more than a very silly diversion.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I'm looking at.
Okay, let's go on to another topic, and that is obviously the topic dealing with the drone that was pointed yesterday at the Kremlin. Apparently, the drone was very ineffective. Comments, Jim?
Well, yeah, so I think that's actually a pretty important issue right now, because it is really raising the stakes in the fight right now in Ukraine, in Kiev, at least in the short term.
Right.
So basically what you see from a video, and I've looked at the video from a couple of different angles. There's a couple of different reports there from local. But I will tell you that it's some interesting observations. First of all, who are the possible players that could have done this? It could have been the Ukraine. It could have been Ukraine Special Operations Forces, or it could have been Ukraine. But from them to be able to penetrate the Kremlin's air defenses – that would show a significant weakness in Russia's security situation.
Yeah.
So if you've got a handful of operators out there with a drone that could actually breach the White House, and attack the president. It probably would have happened already. The same thing with the Kremlin. If in fact they had the capability to do this, it may or may not have, you know, this may be the first event, and there's a possibility that somehow they managed to infiltrate, move all the way up there and do that. There's another couple of possibilities. It could be independent operators. It could be anti-Kremlin activists, you know, people that are angry at the war, or it could be actual pro-Kremlin, very strong activists, right-wing extremists, even Prigozhin and Wagner Group, trying to create a circumstance that would get people fired up and get them more supportive of the war. At a time when there's, you know, questions about success and how long is this going to take. It could be the Kremlin. The Kremlin could do it as well, you know, in order to do the exact same that either these other two groups might be doing. But I will tell you, Al, after looking and watching the videos, there are some things that come to my mind that you really have to question. Okay. The first is the type of explosives used in these events. So the bombs that were dropped, apparently from the drones, were actually did not appear to be military-grade attacks. When a military-grade explosion happens in a sophisticated weapon system, there is a quick flash, but it immediately dissipates. And the reason why is because on the battlefield, you don't want to highlight where these explosions are all the time, unless you're using a specific marker, some sort of a white phosphorus or another type of technology that actually marks a particular target. In this case, with a drone, these things hit and did very little damage, but left a big firework type explosion. That would indicate unsophisticated device. The actual target, when you use a drone these days with drone technology, you can see videos every day what's happening in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. A Ukrainian operator can fly a drone into an open hatch on a tank. They can drop a grenade into an open hatch on the tank. They could do a lot of different things and maneuver in many ways through video telefeed to the drone. The capabilities and being a guy that managed drone systems in Afghanistan, believe me, there's a lot of technology out there and a very sophisticated technology. And where these explosions went off was actually looked to be very much directed towards a camera audience. So, and the damage that was done, they could have, believe me, people know where Putin sleeps, you know, just like people know where Biden sleeps in the White House. Mm-hmm. They could have been a lot more effective in their targeting if, in fact, this was a sophisticated operation. So I take away the fact that the Ukrainian special operations guys did this because it just – they would have been – there's a lot of other ways to do this, right? There's a possibility they want to create havoc and just, you know, make people uncomfortable in Moscow. But at the same time, why would you want to exacerbate the problem, potentially risk more attacks and drone strikes and missile attacks on Kyiv? It doesn't make a lot of sense since the war, you know, has really moved away from the western side of the country. Yeah. So from a strategic, there's no value in this, ultimately, from a Ukrainian perspective. And, oh, by the way, the western powers and the United States in particular have been very aggressively pushing them not to take actions inside of Russia, for the Ukrainians not to take actions inside of Russia. So these are things that you've got to consider from a rational and analytical viewpoint. It does show to me that either there's a significant weakness in Kremlin security operations, a very major weakness in Kremlin security operations, or because they've known this threat for a while, or there was someone that conducted either a very ineffective, dramatic event in order to, one, intimidate, or two, to inflame the population as a false flag operation. Mm-hmm. My money is on the latter, that this was in fact a Kremlin orchestrated event to get people fired up and justify more action and finances and draw, maybe get more volunteers and more conscripts into the fight and get the population behind them. I don't think it's going to work for them because, in fact, if they were successful, they would have been successful back in Kiev in the first 72 hours when they had to try to destroy the Zelensky government, and they failed with that. So, you know, a lot of this stuff out there, I think, is false. But what's the one thing to take away from this event is it is a huge escalation, and it is a justification for Putin to take more dramatic action. So we'll see what happens in the next, few days, week, or 2 weeks, especially as Ukrainians begin more offensive operations in their counteroffensive.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's a very strange situation over there. What do you think, I mean, just take this thing, if you would, to the next logical step. Where do you think it's going to go?
So, I mean, there's no question the Ukrainians are building up and massing forces on the border on the forward line of troops on the front across the way, many areas in the battlefields in eastern Ukraine. So there's going to be a significant escalation. It will really, you know what, will the Russians be able to hold this offensive? Will be a critical that we're gonna watch over the next couple of weeks, a very dramatic escalation from the Ukrainian side, and likely a very dramatic escalation on the Russian side. What this means is probably there's going to be some movement back and forth. I don't believe there's going to be any actual resolution at this point, but it may force enough damage that they actually start negotiating and talking to each other. If the Ukrainians actually have the advantage with weapons, the Western weapons that have been put in there, the more sophisticated targeting tools and precision guided and smart weapons, then the Russians are going to have a very tough time. They're going to lose a lot of people. And of course, the Ukrainians have hit strategic targets in the last couple of weeks that have been ammunition supply points, refueling sites, logistics support centers. And that's going to make it tough for the Russian forces in the initial stage of this until they actually have enough manpower and strength to push back against it. So it's going to be a very ugly next few weeks or month.
I would have a tendency to agree with that, Jim. I think a lot of the stumbling blocks, I think, that the press has put in the hands of the public, so to speak, within the subject that you are discussing right now, I think it's just kind of idle propaganda, for lack of better terms.
There's a lot of propaganda going on both sides. There's no question about it. But I've got to, and our bloggers yesterday made some comment about, hey, I'm a pro-Ukraine, whatever. That's not true. I'm absolutely against the war.
Yeah.
And I'm against what's happened. But I do want to make this comment why I support Ukraine defending themselves. Look, if you were living in your house and somebody was coming into your house, into your door, to kill you, to kill your family, or take over your house and your possessions,
yeah,
would you fight or not? And would you defend it? And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Vladimir Putin and the Russians, bottom line, walked in the door of the Ukrainian house and are trying to take something away from them. And you know what you'd do? You'd probably fight back to protect your family, to protect your community,
sure,
to protect it around you. And you know what? You'd ask for help from neighbors and other people, and you'd call the cops.
Yeah.
Now, that no matter what their justification was, in my view, there is no justification for Russia to come in and begin killing people and Ukrainian soldiers in order to achieve their political ends. It just doesn't make – to me, it doesn't make any sense. There was no specific threat to them other than what was propagated by the Kremlin.
Yeah.
Which was bullshit.
Yeah.
It was total lies. And I just want to make these points, and I wrote them on the blog. Regardless of what our listeners think and they keep arguing, I still don't see all the dead Nazis that were going to be with a successful Russian action. I don't see Russia gaining any ground yet.
I don't see the Ukrainian army collapsing. Right. I don't see the West cutting off support to Ukraine. And I don't see anti-Ukraine government movement in Kiev or in the western areas of Ukraine. Now, you know, CFS mentioned that, you know, polling of Ukrainian support for Russian invasion in Crimea. You know, give me a break. You're under military control, and you think somehow that polling is effective or accurate? And who's doing it? I mean, that's just ridiculous. What I do see, and these are facts, I do see a large Ukrainian military buildup right now. I see Western precision weapons having very successful being very successful against Russian armor. I do see this getting uglier. Yeah. These are not pro anything. These are just the reality. This is just the reality of what's happening on the ground, Al.
Hey, I'm not disagreeing. You know, that's one thing that you got to understand. I love our vloggers. I love Tony, etc. But in terms of this particular argument, I have to say that I'm really pretty much, Jim, on your side. And the reason it's not because, not for any deep-seated reason, really, other than the moral situation. I mean, did Russia totally out of the blue invade the Ukraine? The answer is yes. Okay. Is Ukraine simply trying to defend itself? The answer is yes. Tony made a comment which directs listeners to what I think is a really good discussion, and that is called the Duran. The Duran typically runs 30 minutes or so, and I really enjoy it. I think those two guys are pretty with it when it comes to, you know, a lot of the news out there. I really enjoy that, as a matter of fact. You ever listen to it, Jimmy?
I've listened to it, yes. Of course I've listened to it. Listening to all different views, and yeah, they've got an interesting take on it.
I'm sorry?
They have an interesting take.
Yes, they do. Everybody's got an interesting take, you know, and that's the thing about living in America that's really kind of cool, is you can kind of say, not kind of, you're guaranteed by the Constitution to be able to have any opinion you want as long as it doesn't obviously aim in its intent, for lack of better terms, to hurt somebody else. You know, and I don't see where this discussion is really hurting anybody else.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it's like it doesn't matter. You know, just actually the exchange of information and ideas is critical, right?
And looking at what's factual.
You know, I mean, reading the article in Zero Hedge that I can't remember who posted it, but somebody posted it on there. You know, you read that and you say, okay, yeah, that's great. They haven't lost. The Russians haven't lost. They still have some depth and manpower, you know.
Uh-huh.
But the war is not over yet, right? There's no clear end to it at this point. Russia does have a significant amount of capability, and that capability remains. However, you have to target. The United States had the most effective military in history in 2021. And guess what? We lost Afghanistan because where you mass your forces, how you operate in the battlefield, and most importantly, your political and your strategy that runs behind that is essential for victory. And what I don't see is a successful end to this for either side, but certainly not for Russia. From the beginning, it has perplexed me what they thought they were going to achieve by force.
I got to be honest with you, Jim. I totally agree with you. I don't understand what Putin. I can understand what Putin was trying to accomplish, and I'll take his statement at face value when he said he really was tired of the potential of. He was afraid of the growing potential of increasing issues being increased. Increasing issues. There you go. But he was very concerned about the influence of the West getting greater in Russia. And I have to tell you, in light of what we're all talking about on this particular blog, this particular program, I agree with him 100%. I think there are a lot of things that the West is doing that are very detrimental to the future of the world. I really do, Jim. And I could go on and on and on about that one, but you know that.
Yeah. And again, you know, it's not like we have a good strategy. It's not like the U.S. has a good strategy of how to manage this problem. This has been disaster, in my view, of the way the U.S. has handled it. Right. I'm not supportive of how, you know, Lloyd Austin or General Milley have just poured weapons and equipment and taken away from U.S. stocks in order to support Ukrainian military operations.
Right.
That doesn't make any long-term strategic sense to me. At the same time, you know, and again, if you know, the Europeans took more responsibility for the things they fear, we'd be in a much better position here. But we're actually seeing even the Europeans have questions about how far they're willing to go to defend their own interests.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a pretty disturbing thing. Not as disturbing as what's going on with Hunter Biden, though, and what's been going on with Department of Justice and the IRS.
Well, and you're saying that the reason that you're very concerned about that is because the concept of equal justice for all Americans is thrown out the window when you bring Hunter Biden and his shenanigans, for lack of better terms, into the equation, correct?
I have a lot of respect for John Solomon. He does a blog, Just the News, or actually he does not only a blog, but he also does television as well. He has an article out talking about the protection racket. Basically, it's called As Evidence Emerges in Hunter Biden Probe, Investigators See a Political Protection Racket. There is vast amount of evidence showing that U.S. government officials, from the Attorney General to the Secretary of State to former Obama intelligence officials, a large number of people have been involved in protecting the Biden family from scrutiny, but in particular protecting them from IRS oversight and this and actual corruption. So it looks like our government is protecting a particular favored individual, and it made a huge difference in the 2020 election.
Of course it did. Of course it did.
And so,
and that's why we got to be concerned.
Yeah, and I've, as I said from the beginning, one of the biggest successes, there are two big successes for the Obama administration. One was co-opting the media to be their voice, you know, his voice box, basically, his mouthpiece. And the second was infiltrating the U.S. government with appointees and then turning them into federal civil service workers and axing a lot of former people that were just committed to the government.
Yeah.
That was, he was successful over that for 8 years. And what that has shown is the level of corruption within the Department of Justice and the FBI, as well as other oversight agencies, or federal agencies, executive agencies that, that have now taken sides for their political agenda.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, from a, and it, for us to remain a republic, for us to remain a constitutional based legal system, that can't be accepted. We cannot allow this to continue to go forward. And if Americans do, then they have signed over their life to authoritarians and tyrannical leaders that will dictate their future and take them out for what they believe. And that's what we're seeing on a massive scale. And the unfortunate thing for Hunter Biden is Eric Schwerin, his business partner, is now, he is now cooperating with the congressional oversight investigators. That's unfortunate for Merrick Garland. It's unfortunate for the DOJ. And, of course, with the whistleblower, the senior investigative officer from the IRS that now has protections from Congress and from the DOJ, these agencies are going to look pretty bad. And again, Al, it goes right back to that. People won't care if it's not reported and they don't know. And that's
and the proof to that, I agree, Jeremy. The proof to that is this whistleblower thing was a big, big story, just a few weeks ago. And at the time, in response to some of the listeners, I said, I don't think this story is ever going to see the light of day. And so far, Big Al has been right on that one. Hasn't really gone anywhere.
Nope. And all the corrupt activity, all the different things that have, you know, really undermined confidence. I mean, we've got now two more banks. You know, we had the Republic Bank closed out. We've got two more banks that they've stopped trading on. You've got the inflation issues. You've got the border issues. You've got actually Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House spokesperson, saying that they've stopped, you know, through their parole program, they've stopped 90% of the illegal immigration, which is an absolute phenomenal lie. Absolute phenomenal lie that she would say that publicly and then try to defend it.
Yep.
You're seeing this type of fraud, yet a large number of people, especially in your community right there, don't see it, don't hear it, or if they see it and hear it, they don't care about it. Yep. And that's what's so sad.
You know, you brought up an interesting personality that I would just like to get an opinion on from the bloggers and kind of an initial opinion for you. She is the poster child. I don't know how old she is, but she looks pretty young. But she is really the poster child, for lack of better terms, for the politically correct left. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's such a confusing.
Yeah.
Such a confusing issue, and I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, it's so disheartening, but at the same time, I do feel confident that people are starting to see some of the bribes, the fraud, and the crimes behind the scenes, and hopefully that'll change perspectives.
Yeah, hopefully it will, but so far some very, very major problems have not seen the light of day. Jim, been going close to 27 minutes. Let's terminate here and see what we get in terms of comments. Thanks for your input, you guys. Appreciate it. Jimmy, thank you for taking time.
Love the controversy. Love these guys coming up with the different opinions and ideas. Let's just keep discussing.
You got it exactly. If you're not willing to discuss, you're not willing to learn. Be back with you guys tomorrow.